Hello.
Hello.
Ah!
Ha!
Ah!
I can't see.
Gotta hit it from there. That one, a good one.
Welcome, everybody, to Juice Pro Wrestling Episode 6. Six Sides of Steel.
Six Sides of Steel.
Of Steel, yeah!
We're going to start off with a man of mystery and wonder. As a matter of fact, he's the motherfucking eighth wonder of the world, Andre the Giant.
Andre.
Andre, you're here?
Back from the dead.
Holy shit, Andre! What's it like for a man of your stature in heaven?
I can drink all I want and nothing happens.
Well, couldn't you do that in real life anyways?
Yes, but at some point my heart failed.
Well, sorry to hear about that, Andre.
Is it too soon for jokes about my own death?
I don't think so. It's been quite a while.
Cool, let's laugh together.
The question really is it too late to review the HBO special,
no.
Andre the Giant?
I want to know if I need to be angry up here.
Well, right on. Let's fucking dive into it then.
Was it good, man?
I thought it was really good. I thought it was really well done. About an hour and a half long documentary episode, whatever you want to call it. HBO. Anyways, yeah, the Andre doc, it was produced by WWE and HBO. I forget the dude's name, but he had been trying to do this documentary for 7 years, something like that. They had a big red carpet special a couple weeks ago when it debuted. Everybody and their mother was there. The good thing for me was my brother, the Hulkster, was also there, and he was rubbing elbows with the WWE brass, which, you know, led to speculation of him coming back at
WrestleMania,
which didn't happen. But it was cool, you know, cool to see Hulkster after all the controversy and all the fucking slander and bullshit kind of being there. Looks like they're kind of heading in a more accepting direction of him possibly coming back to the company.
He'll be back.
But what was the documentary about? Because I heard it was just about this guy who lived a certain lifestyle because he knew he was gonna die because of his size.
It was about the eighth wonder of the world. Yeah, you're exactly right. It starts off, you know, kind of goes through early childhood and shit like that, and it's got some good sound clips of him actually talking about how he played soccer and how he broke into the wrestling business and all that. So it, you know, it's got some really cool informative shit going on there. And then once they kind of break through that, they talk to his brother, I think actual family members, a couple of his brothers, his daughter, were filmed for this.
Where does family live? Like, where's his daughter from? She's not in America. She's
in America.
She is?
No, yeah, they're from the French Alps.
From Grenoble in the French Alps.
That was my Howard Finkel, by the way. Howard Finkel.
But he was, she grew up here, his daughter.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
It was weird. They didn't really touch on that much other than, like, you know,
I didn't really know my dad too much. I mean, he came around, but my mom didn't want me to be a part of that.
Fucking come on.
Come on.
As Shinsuke Nakamura would say, come on. So I thought that was kind of bogus, you know. But she had also said, though, that Andre was kind of didn't want his daughter to be around the business as well, you know. I mean, you got to think, they go over it extensively how back in the day when Andre was in his prime and his peak, I mean, this guy was a fucking attraction, you know. I mean, he was a legit giant. Eighth wonder of the world, worked all these different territories, made lots of money doing it, but the guy was on the road 300 plus days a year.
I saw pictures of his hands online,
mm-hmm.
And they're big. They're almost as big as mine.
It's almost as big as your
close.
What?
My hands. Oh. His hands are almost as big.
My hands are small, I know. They're not large, Andre. Those are your own.
So everybody has to watch it?
Yeah, it's really good.
Was it awesome? Or just
I thought
good?
It was pretty fucking badass.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good attention to detail on that, and you know, it's pretty sad at the same time.
How did he die?
Heart attack. You know, he had it's a tumor in your pituitary gland that causes giganticism, and basically he knew about it beforehand, but he was like, I just want to go with God gave me. And he knew that he wasn't going to live long, you know, so he enjoyed his life. And I can respect a man for that because it's a sick, sad world, you know?
How old was he?
Did he hit
50?
50-something? I think he was like 50. 40, 45, 50.
Oh, no shit.
Maybe if I would have paid more attention to that instead of all the great drinking stories. One segment, speaking of that, you guys can Google his age, you know? I'm not going to waste time on that. But they had a lot of wrestlers like Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan on there. One of the Andre's favorite pranks, his ribs, if you will, was his love of flatulence.
Oh my.
Farting? Giant. Imagine a man that size just farting. And this is what Vince McMahon, Hulk Hogan, everybody they interviewed that said when they heard that man fart, it was like the fucking room.
Is that where the nickname Eighth Wonder of the World came out? It wasn't because of his size. It was because of the way he farted.
I think it was. I think he caused a couple earthquakes back in the day.
Oh my.
I could be wrong, but you know. They said when he'd board an airplane and he'd be right by the pilots up front, and he would rip ass so bad that these pilots would get fucking pissed and like gagging and shit, like, oh, he's never flying our fucking shit again. And it was like, imagine, you know, those giant-sized squirts.
That's right.
And also, they said on the airplane, it's pretty sad, you know, to accommodate a man of, he's like 7'5", probably 400-something pounds, close to 500 pounds. How do you accommodate a guy on there, you know? And they kind of touched on that. If he had to go take a shit or a piss in the bathroom, he couldn't go in the bathroom. So what they did was they closed the curtain and they had people hold a bucket and he did his business in a bucket.
Oh, shit.
And then they fucking threw it in the toilet. How would you like to be that motherfucker? You know, it's like, I got a fucking bucket full of the giant's feces.
It's probably like working on a farm and getting rid of horse crap.
I think it's a shitty job.
Ha ha! Juice will be here every week for Juice Pro Wrestling if you want to hear more humor like that.
That's right, motherfucker! Yeah, so, and then getting, you know, past the whole flatulence thing, which is really cool. I thought it was pretty funny. I'm a connoisseur of the gas myself. It's healthy for you, you know. They started talking about his drinking stories, which, of course, are legend to everybody. Ric Flair is like, I was there when... That didn't really sound like Ric Flair.
Ric Flair sounds
I was there, baby, when he drank 106 beers. That didn't sound like him either. Fuck you guys. Anyways, so, you know, he's sitting there talking about how he watched Andre drink 106 beers. And,
Jesus.
You know, the stuff of legend. They said that he was so drunk one night, Hogan was talking about how he came back to a hotel and all them guys had been drinking, and Andre drank till God knows how long, and he ended up passing out, like, in a hotel on the floor. And people were like, well, what the hell do we do? Guys, like, what you can't do is call Triple A. That's what Pat Patterson was saying on there. And nobody fucked with him, though, you know? And Hogan said he came in that next morning, and Andre was still laying there fucking passed out, and just kind of like, you leave him alone until he wakes up, you know? So shit like that. He loved wine. He would drink like fuck. Rob Reiner from The Princess Bride.
Yeah.
You know, they had him, Billy Crystal, who's the guy? He was the main character, the swashbuckler guy.
I don't know that actor's name.
Yeah. He's really weird looking now. Like, he had too much makeup on. He was almost like an effeminate corpse. You know, like you're seeing at a funeral or some
shit. Adorably pretty corpse.
Yeah, like, man, dude, is this guy just a reanimated puppet talking about his love for Andre and how he was a tortured soul? That's why he drank. Which I'm sure, I don't doubt, the guy was probably in a hell of a lot of pain after, you know, many surgeries and wrestling for all those years and just being having all that weight on your legs. It's a lot of weight. Yeah, so after the fucking, you know, they go through the drinking and all that shit, Rob Reiner's talking about how they were on the set and some new bottle of wine had came out. And they found out about this like at 9 a.m. So Andre, you know, he gets one, fucking pounds that. And then he's like, like noon or 2 o'clock comes by. Andre had been through 9 bottles of this wine already. We had to hoist him up on this thing to do a scene. He's like, I got this big drunk giant. And he's just sitting there waving like, ho, boss.
Is that why in the movie there's half the time you can't understand what the hell he's saying? He's probably lit.
Well, probably. I'm sure that had a little bit to do with it. But you couldn't really understand him that good anyways. Really? English wasn't, like, that great.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, show me one interview where it's like, all right, you really understand what Andre's saying. Like, go fuck yourself. You're lying. drinking a little myself. This lemon LaCroix.
Not the pamplemousse?
No, I got the pamplemousse at home. I'm, you know, doubling it up with some of this horrendous PB, I mean, this delicious Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Yeah, I tried one when you guys did the WrestleMania hangover. Mm-hmm. I will not endorse Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Did you get a hangover from all that tequila you were pounding during episode 5?
No, I got a hangover from all the talking you guys did.
Oh, we did a lot of talking. A
lot of talking.
Yeah, let's do some more right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, they went over with the actors from Princess Bride, and they had some cool stories to share with that. I'm not really going to run down the whole thing, but I think it's definitely worth it. And one thing they spent a lot of time, it seemed, for an hour and a half documentary on Hogan. And it's funny because before I came in the studio at night, I was talking to my buddy, and he was kind of laughing about it, too. Like, you know, I'm a big Hogan fan, but you know what kind of pissed me off is, like, they spent 20 minutes on the Andre the Giant documentary talking about Hogan.
Why?
Well, you got to realize, I mean, that Andre was this big worldwide superstar himself, like worldwide. Everywhere he went, he was very well known, very well respected. Probably the most of his time at his peak, the most famous athlete in the world. You know, up there with Muhammad Ali and all those guys. Hogan is such a pivotal part of his career, though. You remember WrestleMania 3? I mean, that's the shit that should be on the back of a quarter is fucking Hogan slamming Andre. That's Americana, you know? That was at the end of Andre's career. Hogan didn't think that, you know, that he had the match all laid out, and he didn't think Andre was going to do it because he was in a lot of pain, you know. But then he got out there, and he's like, he said he couldn't get anything out of Andre as far as like, so, hey, man, you know, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, then you do this. He's like, are we good? And Andre would never give him a straight answer, you know, kind of fucking with him a little bit. But when he went out, he did business, you know, and Hogan was like, man, I was surprised. Like, he took real good care of me. He was in great pain. It was a passing of the torch moment.
Right, right.
And that moment is the reason why WWE is what it is today. That's so fucking iconic, you know.
Yeah, yeah,
You can't take that away. So I think that's, and him and Hogan and Andre were best buds. I mean, I remember that storyline. You know, when they're in Piper's Pit and Andre walks out with Bobby the Brain Heenan and fucking rips the crucifix off his chest. He's like, I told you, all time. And he's like, what are you doing, Andre? He rips the crucifix off and Hogan's bleeding, dude. And then Piper's standing there. He's just like, you're bleeding. You're bleeding. Like, we got it. And then, you know, they come back out in the pit and, you know, Bobby the Brain and Andre want to know if Hogan accepts the challenge for Mania 3 for the title. And I'll never forget, it was Hogan, yes, like holding the shit. You know, that's enough to get you pumped as a kid. But I think that's why they focused a lot on Hogan and Andre, because if it wasn't for that, we wouldn't be sitting here talking about this shit right now.
Yeah.
You know, that is... so iconic and such a pivotal moment, not just for WWF, WWE, but for wrestling, pro wrestling in general, you know, as far as going mainstream and just fucking busting nuts all over everyone.
Busting nuts all over everyone.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Oh, my. But yeah, a great documentary. Check it out. HBO. You
Don't
guys
be scared.
Got,
Go ahead and watch it.
Yeah. Don't be scared of the
and
angry
then
giant.
Contact Juice about what you thought.
Yeah.
How do we do that?
You can hit us up at jpdubpodcast@gmail.com or hit us up on Twitter. I'm on there all the time at jpdub. That's JPDUB podcast.
You could also leave a comment on YouTube.
You could leave a comment on YouTube. Just search Juice Pro Wrestling.
That's right.
That's right. And if you're on Twitter and Instagram and all that shit, you know, hashtag Green Door Network, hashtag JPDub, hashtag Juice Pro Wrestling. All right.
Here's a transition. This is what we're going to do next.
Pivot.
All right. We got 5 leagues I wrote down. Leagues is the right word?
Yeah. Well, no. I mean,
no.
No. Promotions. Promotions.
Promotions. All right. I'd like to know what happened this week in each one. And if nothing happened, just say nothing happened.
All right.
So, WWE.
WWE as far as... well, they had the draft on Raw and SmackDown.
Okay.
You know, talent fucking switching sides. Brought a lot of guys over from SmackDown to Monday Night Raw. Some of which I was excited. I was pretty excited about all of them. Once again, you guys can Google that and see all the guys that went over. It's a laundry list of names because they cleaned shop on SmackDown and sent a lot of dudes over to Raw. And I didn't really think that Raw sent much over to SmackDown as far as just number-wise, number of guys. Like, Raw clearly got more, but it's a 3-hour show, you know, and it's their number one brand, so to speak. But I did like Samoa Joe coming to SmackDown.
Ooh.
You have the Good Brothers, the Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson, a.k.a. the OGBC, Old School Bullet Club, leaving Finn Balor and the Balor Club. Balor stayed on Raw and heading over to SmackDown, which they could potentially set something up with him joining back with AJ Styles as the Club, because they were also all three members of the Bullet Club. Sren, did you know that?
Yes, I did.
Did you?
Yeah, I know all that stuff.
He's a fucking learning guy. But yeah, other than that, I think, they got the greatest Royal Rumble. I don't know if that went down yet or not, so I'm not really going to touch on that yet. But
okay.
Basically, it's in Saudi Arabia, Royal Rumble, 50-man Royal Rumble. Not really too much going on in WWE that I gave two shits about this week.
Fair enough. Ready? Lucha Underground.
Lucha Underground. Oh, this is a good one.
Were there any impressive huracaranas?
Impressive huracaranas?
What are they called?
Hula Con Lana! Oh, yeah, there's a lot of good shit. Lucha Underground, well, the season hasn't started yet. What are they on now? Season 4?
Damn it.
Yeah, that's coming up soon. So Google that. That's going to be on El Rey Network. You can catch the first 3 seasons. They're on Netflix. They're on iTunes. Really good storytelling. It's Lucha's cool because it's wrestling. Like, they have the in-ring shit, and the action is just top-notch. To me, it's like a throwback to old ECW as far as athleticism and brutality combined. And they do the intergender matches where, dude, chicks could potentially be your world champion, you know, the female wrestlers. And I think that's cool. You know, everybody's all about this equal rights and bullshit, but then when you see a girl wrestling a guy, you know, it's like, we can't have that. WWE won't really do that too much, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of bullshit because a lot of these women, they can go, man. They can go with the best of them. So Lucha does that, and they put them in powerful roles, you know. I mean, they've won titles. There's been women winning singles titles. I think, correct me if I'm wrong out there in Juice Pro Wrestling Land, Sexy Star, I believe she was world champ of Lucha Underground at one point. So, yeah. Not too much going on. Like I said, they haven't debuted yet. But what they're doing is they have a cross-promotion, a partnership with Impact Wrestling, formerly known as TNA Wrestling.
Ooh.
And they actually just put on a pay-per-view on Sunday called Redemption. And if you don't mind, I'd like to go over the card.
Great transition.
Yeah. I like transitioning to the top. Sometimes on the bottom. I'll take whatever I can get. All right, Impact Wrestling. First, I'd like to go over the title. Redemption, to me, it was kind of cool because they, for years and years, this company has been plagued by just bad decisions. TNA was owned by the Carters, Dixie Carter, whose parents owned, they're wealthy beyond fucking comprehension. I think they're, I don't know what they're, if they're in the oil or whatever it is, but she basically bought out. The promotion was started by Jeff Jarrett and his dad, Jerry Jarrett. And, you know, putting on, they start off as weekly Wednesday pay-per-views, and then that kind of morphed in. They used to be on Fox Sports. They had a little TV deal going, and then they went to Spike TV. Well, you know, Jarrett needed help as far as financing the company and getting bigger talent in. Here comes Dixie Carter. She basically takes over. Long story short, she controls the promotion for years and years, and they'd bring in cool guys like Hogan. You had Rob Van Dam, a lot of big name guys, but they kind of really never did the company any service because the company was built on all these young dudes, like at the time, like AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, Bobby Roode, a lot of X Division guys, Jerry Lynn, just busting their ass and putting on a lot of innovative different types of matches you'd never seen before, a lot of moves you'd never seen before. And it was the cool alternative product. You know, they had a six-sided ring, which I never really saw much as a kid other than in Mexico with Lucha Libre. And I thought that was pretty badass to have that there. But as they were bringing in all these big guys, like former WWE guys, they really didn't do much to help the company, you know, or to build a lot of the younger talent. You know, it's like these guys are there for a paycheck. There were some cool spots as far as like Ric Flair coming in and doing his thing with Jay Lethal. But, you know, they tried to rehash an NWO come back in there with the Wolfpack and Scott Hall and Sean Waltman and them guys. And then that just turned into a disaster. They turned into like a fucking biker gang called the Aces and Eights. You know, Eric Bischoff was back. It just wasn't good times. They switched to a four-sided ring, which they're back to now, but I don't mind it so much. So long story short on that, Impact, a lot of fans had turned their back on that because they to me, like fan-wise, they didn't really treat the fans with respect because of the horrible fucking product they were putting out. You know, it was like WWE light. They were copying the same fucking storylines, you know, a lot of just, I guess you could say child friendly stuff where it's like, no, we want the blood, the brutality, you know, like all these crazy moves that you guys used to do. All that stuff kind of went by the wayside. You know, they got all these older dudes in there. So for the past several years, they've been trying to rebuild and rebuild. And I can't tell you how many fucking name changes they've had, whether it was Global Force Wrestling, you know, Impact, which it's back to now, TNA Wrestling, which stood for Total Nonstop Action, or depending when you watch, Total Nonstop Assholes.
Assholes.
Would you like to lick my asshole? Yeah, so anyways, they put out bad shit for a lot of years, and it's become the hip thing on Twitter and YouTube to just hate on Impact and TNA, even when they're doing the right thing.
Still, currently?
I think it's kind of curbing a little bit now, which I'm glad to see because they are putting out a good product. They Dixie Carter ended up selling a majority share, if not all of it, to a guy named Ed Nordhelm.
That guy.
Yeah, that guy. Anthem Sports and Entertainment. They own, like, I think it's the Fight Network. So he's got his hands in a lot of, like, you know, combat sports stuff. But they got a great production crew now. They're putting, like, good promos together, video packages, getting people hyped up for shit. And it's their partnership with Lucha Underground and a lot of these different wrestling promotions like Pro Wrestling NOAH. They just had AAA, which is the parent company of Lucha Underground, bringing in this influx of younger guys instead of just signing old WWE rehashes and like, hey, this guy had a name up north, let's try to fucking make some money off him. And it never really worked, you know. So they're bringing in new stars, they're developing new guys, and they're featuring a lot of, which really gets me now, is the Lucha Underground guys coming in, because that shit, to me, as a wrestling fan, is just white hot right now, and it was a great move for them. You got the head of creative right now for Impact is a gentleman named Don Callis, which you ECW fans may know as Cyrus the Virus. From back in the day in ECW, he was with the network. Great commentator, great heel, just very good for business. He also does the English commentary for New Japan Pro Wrestling. So him and a guy named Scott D'Amore, who was with Team Canada back in the day in Impact Wrestling TNA, and he also has his own wrestling school. He's done a lot in the business. He's got, I think, between them two guys, there's probably like 40, 50 years experience in the business. And then coupled with the owner, Ed, of Anthem Sports, I think they're doing something really cool, and they're trying to turn a leaf. And they're bringing in a lot of big stars from Lucha. Like, you got Cage, you have Johnny Mundo, you have Pentagon, Phoenix, Sammy Callahan. It doesn't stop, you know. So anyways, getting back to this pay-per-view, the opening match for TNA Redemption, which, you know, to me, watching it last night was a huge success as far as naming and performance, because like I said, Redemption, I feel like they're about to be that cool hip product again, you know, maybe not where New Japan's at, not as huge as that, but they keep where they're going and they're going to be back to where they were, you know, and as far as a legit, maybe number two or alternative wrestling company to WWE. First match, Drago and Aerostar, both luchadors from Lucha Underground, both guys highly athletic. This match was all over the place. Really fun match to watch. Aerostar ends up coming out with a win against Drago. You guys check it out. I believe you can get that on the Fight app. You can still order replays, and I'm sure if you don't want to watch and spend the money, or if you don't have the money, if you have it, you should fucking spend it. Quit hating.
Haters!
Hate is gonna hate. Don't hate the player. Hate the game, sucker! That was my Booker T.
Ice, ice, go, go. That's a good Booker T.
That was a good Booker T, wasn't it?
Good for you.
Thank you. Next match. Next match I was really excited for. It was a six-way X Division match, which featured Brian Cage, Trevor Lee. Who else do we got here? Desmond Xavier, some Japanese dude. I don't really know his name. A couple more guys. It's not really telling me right now, so sorry about that. Long story short, though, it was a squash match for Cage, pretty much. This guy is, like, close to 300 pounds.
What's a squash match?
It wasn't really a full-on squash match. A squash match is, like, a guy comes out, like, say, a big dude like Braun Strowman. You know who Braun Strowman is, right, Sren?
A big fat person?
No, he's not fat. He's big.
Just a big dude?
He's a big man.
I take it back.
They come on. Yeah. Don't get these hands threatened. A squash match, though, is basically if they're trying to get a guy over and look dominant, they'll have him come out and beat a guy in quick fashion or just beat the shit out of him for several minutes. You know, just to make a dude look strong.
Goldberg style.
Yes, exactly. Goldberg, half of his career was squash matches. But I enjoyed him. It got me fucking psyched.
Yeah.
And Cage, to me, they call him the Machine in Lucha Underground, and they're calling him that now in Impact, too. But he is one of those guys that could be like the next Brock or Goldberg because he's huge dude who's just ripped the fucking shreds. And, dude, he moves around like a fucking luchador. The shit he does and flip-wise and just his moves are named after, like, different types of X-Men, Wolverine shit. You know, he's got, like, the Drill Claw is one of them. Drill Claw! Drill Claw! By the way, that was from X-Men Children of the Atom, the fighting game, Capcom. Yeah.
Great game.
It was a great game.
Drill Claw! Tornado Claw!
Tornado Claw!
Tornado Claw! Berserker Barrage!
Yeah,
Berserker Barrage!
But yeah, the Cage, you guys listen and know who the fuck Cage is, and you know he destroys. Like, I would, a dream match right now, I would love to see. Actually, he just sent Bobby Lashley out. Lashley just finished up with Impact, and as everybody knows, he re-debuted back on Monday Night Raw. He went out gracefully, got his ass kicked by Cage, which was cool. You know, he did business. He knew he was leaving, and he made this guy look good, and they put on a hell of a match. I mean, Lashley was doing Hurricane Ranas and shit. And
Hurricane Rana!
Hula! Sake! Sakatoma, baby. Yeah, long story short, Cage is a badass. He ends up winning this match, destroying everybody. I did notice, though, a lot of people on YouTube were kind of... He goes in the corner. He plants a guy down, like some kind of slam, and then runs up in the corner and tries to do a back reverse moonsault. Well, the first time he goes up on there, he slips. He botched it, you know?
Right.
But, dude, he got right back up and, like, nothing happened and did it, and it was, like, so picture perfect. Like, it was awesome. But people were still hating on it because it happened. And here's the thing, though. With any sport, real or fixed, you're going to have botches, you know? What the fuck do you call someone that hits a foul ball? That's a fucking botched hit, you know? Like, fuck, a strike is a botched hit to me. Swing and a miss. It happens in every sport, you know? So no disrespect to botch mania because I fucking love that. I just think sometimes fans go a little overboard as far as ripping on that shit when it, you know, get in the ring, motherfucker, and do it yourself. And let me see you
then
do
we'll
that.
Talk.
Yeah.
And I'll beat your little ass, fucking punk.
GNR shout out. Yeah, so Cage, awesome. Another Lucha Underground guy that Impact just picked up and signed. Great signing by them. Big future for him in Impact Wrestling. Next was a women's match. This was Taya Valkyrie versus Kira Hogan. Kira Hogan's this fiery little black chick, hell of an athlete. Kind of don't like how they're calling her Kira Hogan, because
you're sensitive.
Yeah, well, I'm a little sensitive, but come on. I mean, that's kind of dooming her, wouldn't you think, off the bat?
How's her leg drop?
She'll have a leg drop. She got big old booty. Probably make that butt drop.
Booty drop?
Gonna make that bubble pop. Boom, 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 boom.
It's a good song.
I rip and I rhyme. I rhyme and I rip. I think that's kind of bad, though, because just call her Kira or something. That's what they do with a lot of these female wrestlers anyway. It's like Sasha or Tiffany, or, you know, they usually never have a full name, you know. Lita, remember Lita?
Yes.
Or unless Trish Stratus. I mean, they do have it, but the Kira Hogan thing doesn't work because it's how can you give any other wrestler? WCW tried it back in the day. If remember, you were a big NWO guy. Remember Horace Hogan? Big ball guy? He was on the NWO B team?
No, I don't remember.
Oh, yeah. And I guess he was actual legit nephew of the Hulkster, but just there's only one Hogan in wrestling. You know what I'm saying? So for me, it doesn't work. But Taya Valkyrie, Queen of Lucha, she ends up taking the match and enter Tessa Blanchard, who debuted at commentary. She cut some good promos with Josh Matthews, who is a local boy, even though he won't admit it, and Don Callis, who was... Once again, I want to reiterate that I was very, very excited to see Don on the commentary because I wasn't really digging Sanjay Dutt. Didn't really dig the Pope on commentary. They've been lacking in that area for a long time. So Tessa is kind of a big deal. She's third generation wrestler, daughter of former Four Horsemen Tully Blanchard. You familiar with Tully?
Hell yeah. Yes, sir.
He had a lot of chest hair.
Four Horsemen?
Yeah.
lot of chest hair.
That's, you know, wrestlers back in the day with all the chest hair.
There was like, no shame in that chest
no, hair. No, like as I'm older now, I'm like, that's fucking tough, dude. Well, how would you want to wrestle that motherfucker, you know? Especially if he's all oiled up. A little tricky. Oh, that was, speaking of that Andre the Giant, they were talking about guys he hated, and he hated the Macho Man, Randy Savage. Yeah.
Did they say why?
Oh, yeah. He didn't like him. He just didn't like him. Andre thought Randy was so scared of what Andre could do to him because Hogan's like, and another guy, the Iron Sheik, who Andre did not like. I know we're kind of backtracking here, but fuck it. That's what we do. Hogan was talking about how he watched Andre basically beat the shit out of the Sheik. He thought he was going to kill him. I mean, and Hogan says in that documentary, like, he was bigger than all of us. He was stronger than all of us. So he was going to do whatever the hell he was going to do. And he's like, Sheik just annoyed him. So, I mean, and they show, like, footage of him, like, dude, his whole body's just standing on Sheik's back. Like, while he's on the ground. And you could see Sheik's in, like, some real fucking pain. Like, fuck that shit. And then Randy Savage would get all spooked out. And he'd come in and be like, oh, you know, well, what are we going to be doing tonight, boss? And he'd be like, no baby oil. Randy would get all baby oiled up and it'd piss Andre off. And so he would just throw him around like a rag doll, dude, pulling his hair out, like fucking laying into him and fucking chop the shit out of him. So, yeah, I had to throw that one in. Back to Redemption. The next match was for the X Division title. Matt Sydal, a.k.a. Evan Bourne, formerly of WWE and Ring of Honor, versus a returning Impact original, Petey Williams. Petey Williams, Canadian, famous for one of the best wrestling moves, if not the best, I'd say out of the last 15 to 20 years, the Canadian Destroyer. Have you ever seen that?
No.
You're going to have to check it out, and you'll totally agree. Google it. Google. You think Andre would Google shit today?
My hands are too big for Googling.
They'd accommodate a man of his stature now. You know, Ric Flair said in that interview also, he's like, he wore a size 24 shoe. What else you want to know? Because they said, you know, the women flocked to Andre. And actually, when I...
Is that because of his wiener?
Oh, yeah.
I heard he lost Reno. What was it called? Canadian what?
Canadian Club. Oh, no. Canadian Destroyer. Long story short on this, Matt Sydal, Petey Williams, good match. Sydal ends up coming out on top, retaining his X Division Championship. Which, by the way, another reason I'm happy with this Redemption pay-per-view is they finally did away with the horrible fucking belts they had. When they were rebranded as Global Force Wrestling, they had these belts, and I didn't really care for either of them. They had this like weird booger green on the title. And
booger?
Booger? Somebody said Booker T. five time world champion. Yeah, they got rid of those god-awful titles, and what they did, they held on to them for so long. You figure these people have money, and I'm sure these belts are not necessarily cheap, and they take time to get made, right? Well, what they did was they just took a plate and put in the name Impact over where it said Global Force Wrestling. It's like, come on, dude. Like, you have so many people dogging your promotion and shit already, and you're finally starting to work yourself back up there. And little shit like that, I mean, to wrestling fans who are huge nerds for this shit, it'll kill you. You know, people, they won't fucking watch because you got a horrible fucking belt. You know, I don't get it. I mean, I do and I don't. But they did debut new X Division titles, new world champion, tag champion, and knockouts championship. And I think they're all pretty solid looking. So I'm glad to see that happening for them. What else we got? Next match was an actual knockouts. For those of you who don't know, the knockouts are the women wrestlers of Impact Wrestling. You have the champ, Allie, another Canadian hottie. She defeated Sue Young to retain the knockouts championship. Now, Sue Young is an interesting character. She is the undead bride, Sue Young. She's pretty cool. She's got these weird like movements, kind of make her look like a corpse or a ghost. And she's Asian. I don't know what she is, if she's Japanese, Korean, or whatever. You know, I was kind of freaked out. I went on her website and I was like, damn, that's Sue Young. Like, hi. Without the makeup, because they're in makeup, it's like a kind of evil kabuki style. And she's just like spitting blood and shit everywhere. It's
gross.
Yeah, super gross. Yeah, so she's a really cool character. You guys got to check her out. She is also, I believe she's still the wife of a recently released former WWE superstar, Rich Swann. Yeah, he was a cruiserweight guy.
I don't remember him.
Yeah, he got fired because he supposedly had a domestic dispute with her, and they settled that, and WWE was still like, fuck it, we don't want you. Only if you want it. Yes, I really want it. And they didn't want it. So yeah, Allie comes out in that. I kind of skipped that match. I watched some of it here and there. Not saying it was a bad match, but you know. Next, we're going to get to the Impact Wrestling Tag Team titles. And LAX, the current title holders, who I'm really big fans of, Santana and Ortiz, couple of younger cats, really athletic, really charismatic. They have Conan. Remember Conan, K-Dog?
Yes.
Yeah. Viva La Raza, 5150, dog. That didn't really sound like Conan.
Nope.
Conan. He's like their manager or the jefe, you know, the group. They're like this Latino nation group.
Yeah, yeah.
Mixed. It's kind of a cool concept. It's like Puerto Ricans, Mexicans, anything of Latin descent, and they're coming together, you know. And then they also have Diamante, which is a female wrestler. She's been out with an injury, but she's pretty cool too. Hell of a talent. So they have this group, and they shoot these vignettes where they're just sitting in like their little clubhouse, and they're playing bones, and they're counting money. They got all this booze out, and it's got like this old school kind of gangsta music playing. It's really cool shit. You know, it's something that you're not going to see in WWE. I was surprised to find out that a couple weeks ago, Scott Steiner returned, partnering with a guy named Eli Drake, who's also another, could be another big name in the business one day. He's very charismatic, and you could see his rock influence and his Stone Cold. You can see it in the guy, and he's definitely got something. Him and Steiner tagged up. Steiner's still looking pretty decent, other than all the shitty tattoos. I mean, good tattoos. I don't want to get my ass kicked by Scotty, who got the best body? I won't get my ass kicked by Scott Steiner. Yeah, he's got a lot of tattoos now, and he wears a shirt. Because I'm guessing he's got to be up in his 50s, still going at it, but he's not as big as he once was. I mean, guy had like, what, fucking softballs for biceps? Yeah. Ridiculous shit. He actually pulled off a Frankensteiner last night. Yeah. The Hurricanrana returns.
Good for him.
Yeah. He
good looked, match?
Yeah, really good match. I thought it was cool. I was kind of shocked that Steiner and Eli Drake won the titles, actually. You know, like Josh Matthews is throwing out tweets like it's 2018 and Scott Steiner is Impact Tag Champion. But the shit leading up, the story leading up to the match with Scott Steiner, everybody knows his promos are just off the wall. They don't make sense. He doesn't really speak that well. And Scott Steiner's 53 and three quarter of an inch and got the large sides of the world, man. My brother, like, just kind of, I don't like fat asses. That's why people love Scotty, you know? And I think he's realized that he's a horrible promo. It's good because it's so horrible.
Yeah.
That's kind of what, I think he's embraced that fact now and he's going with it. And I'm all for that because it's entertaining. So yeah, Eli Drake and Scott Steiner win the tag title. It's going to be interesting to see where they go after that. Next, we had Tommy Dreamer, ECW original, and also the owner of House of Hardcore Wrestling, which is, you can catch that on YouTube. I believe they're on the Fight app as well. They're on Twitch. They get all kinds of talent. And the cool thing about Tommy is, I mean, he's a guy that, shit, I think not too long ago, he was just on WWE TV. But he's all about networking, kind of like the Green Door Network. Shameless plug!
Not so shameless.
Yeah, no, not at all. He's all about getting people together and working together, you know, like we're... WWE is, we are the be-all, end-all. I like how Tommy is trying to develop relationships with all these other companies and in the end and share talent. It makes everybody better and more exciting. It's cool because you have guys from like, say, like Lucha Underground or guys that are always in House of Hardcore that, fuck, you know, you'll watch Impact, who they have a little bit bigger of, I'd say a lot bigger of an audience just because they are on cable TV. Now they're on Pop TV, which, do you even know what the hell that is?
No.
You don't have Pop. See, that's what I'm saying. That's the shitty thing, and which is good that, you know, they're on Twitch and they have their own network now, so people can. I the Pop TV thing is like, what the fuck is Pop? Or nobody's got it, you know. But so it's good for everybody to kind of trade talent, and you get to see some of your favorite superstars you never thought you would see, you know, and in matches you never thought you would see, which in turn helps your promotion. Like I said, the whole redemption thing, get back to where it once was, you know, because these are guys, all these Lucha dudes, I wouldn't have ever thought I would see him in Impact Wrestling, you know, and Tommy Dreamer coming back and doing stuff. I thought he would be done with the company. Scott Steiner, you know, but new ownership, new business dealings brings about change and good change for Impact in this case. Anyways, you had OVE,
Ohio versus everything.
Ohio versus everything.
Against diehard Eddie Edwards,
Moose,
and the innovator of violence, Tommy Dreamer, in a House of Hardcore match, which basically no rules match, you know, kind of ECW throwback match. A lot of cool spots in this match. You guys need to go on YouTube, order the pay-per-view, whatever you got to do to check it out. Brought back a lot of good memories of just some violent shit I'd see in ECW. And one thing that was awesome is the crowd was super into it. And they had a good story going from that. In real life at the tapings, Sammy Callahan, who's like the official leader, if you want to call it that, for Ohio versus everything. They were taping episodes of Impact for Pop down, a couple months ago down in Orlando. At least, yeah, I think they were in Orlando at the time. Well, anyways, he does a spot where he puts a chair like kind of over his upper chest, like neck area, and he's supposed to just hit the seat of the chair. Well, he comes down and that didn't happen, and he fucking broke his orbital socket and his nose, dude. And it was, and you saw it, and it was brutal to watch. Like, that's for all you assholes out there like, wrestling's fake. Let me take a fucking ball bat to your face and see
how fucking fake that is.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
even when it's planned, it don't go according to plan.
Yeah, so, I mean, and then they took that and used it as a story. Like, Sammy's on Twitter, he's on all this social media, and he's getting real heat, like, from Jim Cornette and a bunch of wrestling personalities in the community that are like, oh, well, this fucking guy, you know, he doesn't protect anybody, he's fucking dangerous, you know? And he's just smart businessman. He's running with that shit, dude. So he's, you know, he's getting all these bookings, his bank account's getting bigger, and it's like, it's the cool thing in wrestling where, wow, you don't know if that's, like, is this what they call a shoot? Like, a real-life ordeal? Or was that all just story shit? And it was kind of a little bit of both, you know? But anyways, so that's what led up, you know, to this was basically it all started with that. And then Eddie Edwards and Sammy going back and forth. And Moose and Tommy Dreamer joined up with Eddie to kind of fight OVE. You know, the fight the good fight! And they came up short and lost. So, yeah. I'm okay with that though. Ohio versus everything. They were actually just out here in Fort Wayne. A guy named Jeremy Siebold.
That guy.
Yeah. He brought him out, and unfortunately I couldn't make it to the convention they were at, but maybe next time and we can get him on JP Dub.
Yeah.
See what's up. Yeah. What, JP Dub gonna show me some love?
Yeah.
Give me a hug. All right. Next match is, all right, here's the final match of the night for Impact Wrestling Redemption 18. Austin Aries. Now, before I go into this match, this was supposed to be, it was hyped up, and they did good video packages. It was supposed to be Austin Aries versus Alberto El Patron, or as WWE fans know him as Alberto Del Rio. Long story short, WrestleMania weekend, when everybody was down in New Orleans doing their thing, they had a press conference. They kind of got into it there. You know, as far as I know, was nothing that was a shoot, you know, just kind of building up the story. And Impact versus Lucha was, what was that, Friday night of the weekend of WrestleMania? Alberto Del Rio doesn't show up. El Patron, whatever you want to call him.
He's,
and there's all these excuses that I guess that I've heard, and who knows, like, not trying to be a dick, but you're not going to show for work because he said he had a family emergency or some shit, but there was videos, I guess, or pictures of him hanging out drinking with people and shit. Like, come on, dude. Like, this company's investing a lot of time and money into promoting your ass, and this is what you do. So they fire his ass, and I couldn't have been happier. Although I do like Alberto, I thought it would have been a cool-ass match. And the way they kind of outdo themselves on the main event for this pay-per-view was it ends up being Austin Aries, who is the Impact World Champion, versus Lucha Underground's Phoenix and Pentagon Jr., who I am huge fans of, especially Pentagon Jr. He's kind of got like the evil martial arts fucking ninja skeleton thing going on. Endorsed by Vampiro. If you guys have watched Lucha Underground, you know he's, Vampiro is his master of sorts. And they also had a killer death match a couple years ago. This match was ridiculous. I cannot call any spots because you guys are going to have to watch it for yourselves. I mean, this is the shit that gets me pumped about wrestling nowadays is these guys are so ridiculously athletic. And especially with how big Lucha, because of Lucha Underground, Lucha Libre, Mexican wrestling is like pretty much landed now in the U.S. And that's something that I know back in the day, Paul Heyman, the original owner of ECW, really tried to incorporate with back in the mid-90s when he was bringing in guys like Psychosis and Rey Mysterio, and then Eric Bischoff kind of took that idea and made the Cruiserweight division, you know, and brought all them guys in. But I know that's something that, you know, Paul kind of envisioned for a long fucking time, and now you're seeing it because it's ridiculous athleticism. Like, I can't even begin to explain these moves. You guys are going to have to go and fucking watch this yourself. Austin Aries, Phoenix, Pentagon Jr. for the world title. Spoiler alert. You ready for this?
No.
Spoil me. Pentagon Jr. wins the world title. Oh, yeah! Oh. Ah, motherfucker! Very excited about that. It seemed like it was legit, too, not something to just kind of create a short period of buzz for the company, you know, because I know they wrapped up taping, so until they start recording Lucha again, I mean, he could... That's the cool thing about this partnership. These guys can come and work Impact Wrestling, and then whatever, they could write them out of storylines when it's time to go, you know, film the next season. And as far as I know from what I've heard, you'll probably see some Impact guys popping up in season 4 of Lucha Underground, which is also pretty cool. But yeah, Pentagon winning the title, did not see that coming. I really didn't know. If I had to guess, I was going to say Austin Aries would retain, because technically it's a guy from another company who just won your company's belt. So that's pretty cool. And Pentagon is super over with just everybody, you know. I mean, Stone Cold's a fan, you know. Like, the guy's fucking awesome. You gotta love him, Sretton.
I will. I'll watch him and I'll fall in love.
What's his name again?
Pentagon Jr. is his name, obviously. What the,
Say his name.
I've already forgotten it.
Pentagon Jr.?
Pentagon Jr., that's
or what Pentagon
I said.
Pentagon Dark?
Pentagon Jr. If you re-listen, yeah. I'll edit it so it sounds like I said Pentagon Jr. Pentagon Jr. is his name, obviously.
Yes, obviously.
All right, so that's the Impact Wrestling pay-per-view.
Yeah,
Redemption.
That, yeah.
So let's quickly run through...
Well, real quick, I just want to give it a... I guess, you know, if I'm going to start talking about pay-per-views and shit that I've watched, you know, I'd like to give him a little rating system. Dave Meltzer's got his 5 stars. I'm going to give... What should I do? A LaCroix rating?
Yes.
I should. I don't know, though. They're not paying us to do that.
They will.
Oh, okay. All right. I would have to give Impact Wrestling Redemption 2018 a good 9 LaCroix.
Ooh.
It's very brisk.
Very brisk. So brisk. That's Impact Wrestling. Let's knock out the other 2 promotions real quick, and then we'll get to the game and close this
bitch out.
Yep. Let's see. So best transition, Ring of Honor. Anything happened this week? Anything of note?
You know what? To be honest, I haven't watched anything ROH related other than, you know, a quick ditty I can kind of give you guys.
P. Diddy?
Yeah, P. Diddy. Silas Young's ROH World TV champ again. They're setting some stuff up with him. I think War of the Worlds is the next big house show / tour that they're going to be doing with New Japan Pro Wrestling. You got guys like Switchblade, Jay White, who's just been announced for Toronto and Lowell stops of the War of the Worlds tour. You're going to see a lot of talent with that just because the partnership, like Impact has with Lucha Underground, ROH has with New Japan, and New Japan is easily the number 2 company in the whole world right now.
Are you serious?
I'm very fucking serious.
So that's it for Ring of Honor. Currently.
Yeah, currently. I mean, you guys, if you want to find out more, just go check out their YouTube and check out Honor Club on their website. I don't really have anything for ROH this week. You know, nothing too.
And finally, New Japan.
Well, you know, New Japan kind of goes hand in hand. Same shit. They do. They're announcing more names now for the All In pay per view, which is in Chicago.
When?
I think September.
We talked about that. Yeah.
Well, yeah, we're gonna continue to talk about that.
Yeah, we're gonna try to get out there.
Yeah. Oh yeah. They got a big event coming. You know, as far as like wrestling podcasts and meet and greets with all kinds of people. So yeah, we'll break more as more of that unfolds and we get more names. I think they already got like a list of like 13 or 14 names of guys who are going to be competing there.
Say again, what's it called?
All
In.
Is
that event All In?
Yeah. It's a pay-per-view being put on by the Young Bucks and Cody Rhodes.
Nice.
Yeah. They're trying to fill up they're trying to sell 10,000 seats.
And 3 will be filled.
That's right.
All right, ready for the game? It's going to be a quick
say
game.
No game, motherfucker. Hulk Hogan, we coming for you.
Last week, episode 5, Juice was talking about how if you ever want to win a match, always works. What works? What always? World move always works.
A fucking low blow.
The low blow. So I compiled a short list of names of super moves that are low blows.
Yeah, supermodels making super moves.
I want you to identify true or false.
Is it a low blow?
Is it a real move or not?
Can we get an awesome sound effect? Like if it is, like a kick in the dick, like a... Like a nice boot to the dick. A nice kick to the groin. Yes. We could do that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Everybody get excited. We all know you love those fucking sound effects.
Ready?
I'm ready.
There's like 25 of these. No, I don't know. There's about...
Lay it on me, Sretton Savage.
True or false? Ready? First one. Balls Mahoney. Is it a real move?
No, it's a wrestler, dude. It's ECW.
That's the name of a guy?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm fucking this up.
Bam. Just like that. That's all there is to it, Dustin. That's all there is to it.
All right. Well, ding, ding, ding. That was correct, but I asked the wrong
We're talking
question.
About dicks, and you say ding, ding, ding.
Ding, 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 ding-a-ling.
My ding-a-ling.
It's Clever Boy. That's
ready?
Threatened. Balls Mahoney, RIP, by the way.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wrecking Ball.
That's fucking Miley Cyrus. This is a pro wrestling podcast. About to wreck your ball.
Bam.
No, that is not a low blow.
Ready? Hurricane Cock Rocker.
That is not a low blow.
Bam.
Okay, that's right.
I think some of these you like making up moves you do in the bedroom with your significant other.
The thunderclap.
Oh shit, that sounds like well you gotta go get treated at the doctor, you know?
When it gets too much to handle.
Oh, it's like
the thunderclap.
The thunderclap. That's like when you pour some Valentina hot sauce down your piss.
Wonderful hot sauce.
Yeah.
Oh, not great. The place. Not the place
down
to
your
put
piss
it
hole.
Ooh.
Not meant for piss holes. It's
no
on the label.
The thunderclap, I'm gonna say no.
That is correct.
Bam.
Fuck yeah. Erect and correct.
The wishbone.
That is not a low blow.
It sure is, baby.
What?
Ha ha.
The wishbone. Wait a minute. Hold up, hold up. Before the wishbone. So is that when dude's on his back, they spread a guy's legs and they stomp him?
I don't know. Just know
you didn't even
move.
Fucking... This is horrible.
I didn't write
research
down, like, okay. But I am the end-all, be-all.
All right.
All right. The Bronco Buster.
I mean... That kid, that's not a low blow. It is a dick move. Dick move.
That is correct.
Fabulous move.
Bam.
What did he say?
Dick move.
I want some dick moves. Please don't let it be a dude.
I like it when the chicks would do the Bronco Busters. Like if Tori Wilson or Stacey Keebler used to do that.
Oh, one
of those
two. It's that.
Like,
very
I would have to call that the Bronco Buffet.
Oh, my.
Very tantalizing.
What's
holla
next?
Your boy, girls.
Ready? Dick, Dick, Goose.
Dick, Dick, Goose. I'm going to go with not a low blow.
That is correct.
Bam.
All right. What do we got here? Five finger brain blast.
Five finger brain blast.
Five finger discount.
Not a low blow.
Oh, that is correct.
Bam.
Oh, Danny.
The low blow, low blow. Nope, I said it wrong.
What?
The blow, low, low blow.
The blow, low, low blow.
The blow, low, low blow.
The blow, low, low, low blow.
Real move or no?
It's fucking fake as shit.
You're on to me.
Bam.
You gonna so do what? Sex to me?
You must have been reading a Karma Sutra book.
Ready?
Yes.
Ring a ding dong ringer.
Not a low blow.
Oh.
Bam.
Inverted atomic drop.
I mean, not necessarily a low blow either, but I guess
blame
I...
Blame this shit on Wikipedia, man.
Yeah. Did they really call that a fucking... the atomic...
Confirmed by like two
inverted
articles.
Well, I guess it could be. Yeah.
Anything where any other part of another wrestler's body impacts the genital-ish areas...
Like, I think it was more like a knee to the taint.
That counts.
Okay.
Right?
All right. But we're talking about dicks.
We're talking about just about low blows.
Sporting goods. Yeah, okay. Low blows work all the time. You know what? Sometimes I get pissed at work. Customers come in my fucking job, you know, give me shit, and they're walking out, and they think they got the
you
last
give them
lap.
A ring-a-ding-dong ringer.
Give them a low blow out the door with the low blow.
The five-finger brain blast.
I don't know about all that.
The blow, low, low blow.
Blah, 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 blah.
All right, what's the next one? Two balls is a crowd.
It is a crowd, by the way. It's not a low blow.
Oh, that's correct.
Bam!
Fuck yeah, it is!
Fast-ass mass blast.
I have no idea what that is, but I do know it is not a low blow.
Bam!
The testicular claw.
Oh, that is definitely a fucking low blow. Just get a handful of junk!
Bam!
The what's up headbutt.
Oh, yeah. Low blow.
Man,
shout out to the Dudley boys. What's up?
Bam!
Got two left. Ready? The no brick dick kick.
The no brick dick kick? Is that what you just said?
No the brick. No brick dick kick.
That is not a low blow.
Man, you're like, this is your best performance
in the master
game.
Of dicks.
Bam!
Wait
last,
a minute.
Last one.
Right.
Shattered dreams.
Oh. That is a low blow. Fucking gold
Man.
Dust. Yeah. Ding, 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 ding. Ring, ding, dong. Talking about fucking schlongs. Keep them dicks ringing.
Bam.
Very good. Very, very good performance. All right,
thank
man.
You.
So we did the game. We did the game. We did the updates. We did the pay-per-view talk. We did a little Andre the Giant. Check out that if you got HBO or however you watch stuff. If you don't have HBO, check out that Andre the Giant documentary.
Yeah. Or so for all you weasels that got the Fire Stick, you know what to do.
Yeah.
Be sneaky.
Very sneaky.
Keep your Cody updated, baby.
Yeah. Knee to dick.
Knee to dick.
All right, here's it. The promo time. How do people find you? How do people interact with you? What are we doing?
You can interact with me. If anybody would like to come on the show and talk about whatever, as long as it's pro wrestling related, you can email me at jpdubpodcast@gmail.com. You can also hit us up on Facebook at Juice Pro Wrestling Podcast. We are also on Instagram under Juice Pro Wrestling. And on Twitter, you can join in on the action. That's where I do a lot of my action ads on Twitter. A lot of... retweets and updates and, you know, my own opinions and interactions with
a lot of wisdom and
yeah and whiz
and whizzing,
yeah, just all of that stuff. At JP Dub, that's at JPU. Wait, no, I fucked it up. I fucked up the promo. Cut. That's
Cut.
At JPDUB podcast on Twitter. And you can also find us every week at the Green Door Network. Subscribe on iTunes under the Green Door Network and hit up www.greendoornetwork.com for all kinds of fun. Are you all about fun?
I love fun.
Ruggy. Anyways, I had a good time tonight. Sven.
I had a good time too, man.
Yeah.
Finish it off.
He's gonna. When I'm up. When I'm up. When I'm up. When I'm up. You gonna do sex to me?